Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your messenger, Apostle Armstrong, and welcome to the Now Sabbath Gathering Ministry. Today our topic is discovering the spirit within me. Spirit within. Me could be whoever, whatever. And as we prepare for our time with the spoken word, I want you to pause a moment and seek the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and let it speak to you in terms of what the scripture says. There are three scriptures today. One is Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. The other one is Psalms 141. And the other one is Philippians 1, 18 and 20. Now, let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, whose breath gives life, whose your spirit is in us, because your spirit gives life, and we just thank you. We just take spiritual authority over the airways, over this radio station. We take spiritual authority over those individuals that are working against the transmittal, as well as those spiritual beings. We just bind them up. Just as you bound them in heaven, we bind them on this earth. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with the Old Testament scriptures. And I want you to listen to them. And these, what's given to me, especially Ezekiel chapter 7, was given to me about 10 years ago. Might be a little bit more. I know it was at least 10 years ago. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read the first four verses. And the word of the Lord came to me. And you, O son of man, thus said the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will let loose my anger upon you and will judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. And my eyes will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will punish you for your ways, while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That's one. And why did that come to me today? Why? Because I saw God's hand move during the electoral process. I saw God respond to the prayer request, not only of us contemporaries, but of our ancestors as well. He had empowered us with spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding so that he would be able to fulfill the covenant that he made with them. And you say, how do you know that? One, I know it because what I did not allow what I saw, what I heard to cause me. I did not allow all of that, those lies, all those election disclaimers, individuals who were running. I did not allow that to even bother me. Why? Because I was seeing things through the spirit realm, and I saw that God, the Creator, was the truth. And the battle was not between earthly. The battle was between the spirit of, it took place in the spirit realm. And that's where I knew that God was going to win, that God's will would prevail. Therefore, my prayer was to that God, when people go in to cast their ballot, that you send your Holy Spirit to quicken them, and they only pull that lever or put that ballot in that slot after they have checked out the names of the people who would make decisions based on his word. And, you know, sometimes when we do that, because we pray and we believe that God's will shall prevail, then those individuals that were selected, they had no other choice that God preordained for them to do. Psalm 1, verse 41, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. All right, let's just pause there. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And that answered another prayer concern that I had in terms of the evangelical Christian who was running around speaking untruths and supported untruths. And the scripture makes it clear that a lie comes from Satan, and Satan is the father of lies. And what I saw, those people all excited about those candidates that they had voted for and how they were going to win. And some of them even tell a big lie about that if they lost, they're going to say that they won anyway. And that's a lie. How can a lie become the truth and the truth becomes a lie? That doesn't line up with God's word. That didn't line up with Ezekiel chapter 7. So all of that was going on time that God spoke Bill's words to the people in Israel and letting them know, hey, y'all best get your act together because judgment is coming. And America, get your act together. God is in the process of judging you. He's judging us. We talk about government. Government is the people. The people are being judged. And we have to come into that reality. And it goes on the latter part of that says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Those are the individual that God is listening to. Those are individuals that God is responding to their requests and their petition. And also, whenever you sit back and look at it historically, our ancestors who died, who marched, and who went through all kinds of changes so that they could vote, so that we could vote. Now all of a sudden you got people running around, they are trying to take that away. Well, they're not fighting with me. They're fighting with God. But then now what we got to do is go back also and ask the question, is God fighting God? Think about it. Evangelicals say that they they're worshiping God. We said we're worshiping God. The question becomes, who's God? Who is God? And if God were one that spoke these words, and those words doesn't line up with the words that they are espousing, that way that they are behaving as if the God here that we serve is not true God. But whenever we look at the God we serve, we are not following a God that lies. We say that God is not a man that he should lie. Right. So therefore, who is the real God? And that's the question that you got to answer for yourself. Then we go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. We who follows the teaching of Christ, Jesus the Christ, and then we line that up with those persons saying that they are following Jesus, they are Christians, and they are doing the bid of their Messiah. Well, again, that's tension, that's conflict between those two individuals. So one of them is following a lie. So we go on, verse 19. It says, yes, and I shall rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, what did I say earlier? That my prayers were that God quickened those individuals' spirits that are going to vote on the Tuesday and believe that God will do what I ask God to do. And I'm not the only one. There were several of us that prayed that prayer. And it says, for I know that through your prayers, who is saying that? Yes, and I shall rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now you say, now, Apostle, it sounds like you're stretching things. No, I'm not. Paul said this. It was man. Man said it. Man said, yes, and I shall rejoice. For I know that through your prayers, see, man knew he didn't have the power of authority on his own, but he knew what the source was and how to approach the source. You approach the source through prayer because, and Paul also knew that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, that verse 1, it spells out the type of prayer, and it's verse 2 through 4. Indicated that we to pray for all men. And then it specified that we should pray for those in authority, and it laid out the kings, et cetera, et cetera. And it, why? We pray for them so that we, those who pray, can live a peace, quiet, peaceful, godly, reverent life. That was the sum of my prayer. My prayer was about solution. It's about looking at the possibility of a problem before it ever came into the... That was a spiritual problem. Spiritual problem. Oh, election denier get elected. And they, this democracy, this country we live in, I will not be able to sit here or any other pastor be able to sit and speak truth. We will not, because if it was going against that which the dominant group says that you should be speaking, then they're going to lock you up. I mean, there's no difference, and wouldn't have been any different than what's happening in other countries where you got dictators and totalitarian regimes. We will have the same or similar situation. And then it says, and the help of the what? Spirit of Christ Jesus. That spirit, you discover the spirit of Christ in you. And that's the power and authority that you have. In Luke 10:18-19 and verse 20, it's clear that 18:19 says that we have authority over demons, scorpions, serpents, and power over the enemy. And it goes 20 is where we normally don't even get to when Jesus chastised those who returned, those disciples that returned. And they was all excited about what they were done and how they cast out demons and all that. Jesus told them very quietly. He didn't jump up and down. I could see him. He was very quietly saying, you shouldn't rejoice in the fact that you did all these things. And so I saw Satan fall from heaven, like lightning fall from heaven. And a lot of us don't even stop to unpack that. But he said, but you rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. And that's where your power comes. And that keeps the enemy from attacking you. That the enemy is going to come back at you. If you don't have a shield. And it goes on, it says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, courage. So now we're going to add something else in there. Prayer, spirit, deliverance. You don't have courage. That hope means nothing. That the deliverance, there will be no deliverance because the courage is what gives you the ability to stand firm, to stand on the word, speak the word, and be able to, when the enemy comes, speak the word. But the enemy understands the devil. The devil understands the word. He was there. His title was different. His name was Lucifer, and he was one of the fair-haired angels there in heaven till he decided that he was going to take charge, and his pride got the best of him, and he was cast out. So let's just bring this to a close. Now, as always, Christ will be honored. And what? My body. He would be honored in my body. And Christ is what? The Spirit. And so, as we go about our daily path, and we stop looking at things through the spirit realm, stop looking at things through the natural, through the five senses, and stop employing the scientific method, in order to lead us to what is true, and begin to look at things through the spirit realm, we'd be able to overcome all these issues and all these problems and all these temptations, and we can learn and we can count it all as joy as we go through trials and tribulations. That is how we can stand firm. That is why God chooses us. That is why God chooses you. He choose you for a time like this because he knows that people are hurting. He knows that people need somebody that they can turn to. He knows that people need an anchor. And if you, your soul is anchored by the word, you'll be able to sit with the individuals and help them. And I was at a meeting today earlier, the Optimus International. We developed a sports academy, developing it, and we are a member of the International Optimus Club. And the thing that came to me, what I saw there, was I saw things that were taking place in the spirit realm. They talk about solutions. They didn't sit there and lament over the problem. They might have mentioned the problem, but they focus on the solution to that problem and not sit there whimping and whining and crying about the problem. It was amazing to be in that setting. And being a retired United Methodist pastor from the Baltimore Washington Conference, at one time there were 60 some churches in conflict resolution going through that process. That was almost 10% of the congregation in that conference. When you sit back and you look at it, and you wonder, what happened? What happened to those people? Why all of a sudden they're going through those changes they went through? Well, whenever I started looking at it, because a colleague of mine was one of the persons that was a facilitator. And whenever I listened to them, and then I thought back on my ministry, I had to deal with pastor. We always done it that way. Pastor, my grandmama. And you sit there and you try and reach them. And you don't give up hope. But I remember one day, one Sunday, I stood at the pulpit, at the portal. I stood there for about 2-3 minutes, just looking out at the congregation, unable to say a word because of their behavior and how they responded to various situations and circumstances that did not line up with the word, and they were not open to being able to explain to them. So what did I do? I put it in God's hand and allowed God to speak to them. And I was able then to speak the word as given to me. And as we just look at what's going on today and we see that there is nothing new under the sun. You see what happened back in the time prophet Ezekiel is happening right now. So I hope the message today brought some peace. Not the peace in terms of the way the world understands peace, which is something external. I'm bringing to you the peace of shalom, the peace that passes all understanding from within. And that peace is what really sustains us in times of trouble, in times of grieving, in times of stress. If that's the type of peace that we look for. It's just like we prayed, just like Timothy Paul told Timothy, you pray for all people, for those who are in authority, the kings, et cetera, et cetera. Why? So you and I, we can have peace. We can find a quiet place. We can find that godly place. And we can learn to live by faith. That gets strength and not by sight. And that is what I mean by discovering the spirit within. And we all go through this process. And the mic is open. Our format is the first 30 minutes, the spoken word, or might be less, but that's the format. It could be less than 30 at times, could be 15. But the mic will be open for comments, questions, and our discussion. That's something that I wanted to do whenever I was passing. But the people, frankly, I didn't try it because I did not think that people would accept it because of their tradition. Anyone that have a question or comment at this time? If you do, this is your time. Then that I said that you take exception to, now is the time. Well, if there's no questions, no comment, think of you have a question later. You either can text me or email me or call me. Text or call is 980-636-4662. And those of you who are listening by computer in other countries, if you call me and I don't respond, leave a message. When I see phone numbers from Russia and China and I don't answer, that means just leave me a message and I definitely will call you back. Now, 980-636-4662 or email talking, TALKING, drums, DRUMS, the number 12, at gmail.com. Talking, TALKING, drums, DRUMS, the number 12, at gmail.com. May God bless you, and may the peace of Shalom cover you. And Jesus be those of you who are following the teaching of Jesus and those of you who are Jewish. My Jewish brother, we see each other as brothers. Those of you who are other belief system, whenever you sit down and look at it, you're going to see that there's not too much difference between a lot of it and what Jesus said. And I trust that if you did that and if you find that the Spirit is leading you, just give me a text, give me a call, or send me an email. Shalom.